This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA. From growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Wayfair's big sale is back. Get ready for Way Day. For 3 days only, October 5th through October 7th, save up to 80% off on everything home. With low prices on top furniture and decor, now's the time to invest in new seating or dining set. Up your holiday decorating game for way less. Refresh your cookware and baking supplies. Restock your linen closet and maybe even treat yourself. Actually, definitely treat yourself. At up to 80% off, this is the sale to go all out. Oh, and did we mention everything ships free all Way Day long? Yeah, everything, even a sectional. Plus, surprise flash deals launch every 24 hours on some of Wayfair's top products. So check back each day to score big on something you never saw coming. Who knows what amazing finds you'll bring home. Don't miss Wayfair's big sale. Way Day only lasts 3 days and won't be back soon. Save up to 80% off all things home starting October 5th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, school refusal rates have skyrocketed, with over 40% of primary school students missing more than 20 days of class during the 2021-2022 academic year since the COVID-19 pandemic. That's according to the State of the Nation's Children's last report. The alarming trend has left many parents at their wits' end, desperate to understand why their children are refusing to attend school. What are the underlying causes of this growing issue? How can parents tackle it effectively? Well, I'm joined by Richard Hogan, family psychotherapist and author of Home is Where the Start Is and Parenting the Screenager. Richard, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
So the rise is pretty shocking.
Well, yeah, the rise does speak to the disruption in our children's psychology when these COVID restrictions came in. But also it speaks to our educational system as well. And this is a really problematic issue for parents, you know. It really shatters parental authority and parental agency. I think parents really feel, you know, blamed here for this, you know, this problem, because schools often say just get your child in, or sometimes the message is just get your child in. It's very difficult at times to go up into a room to a 15-year-old and get them into school.
Now, in post-primary level, it's risen from 12% to 26.8% in that pre-COVID to post-COVID time. But in primary school, 40%. I mean, I thought primary school had changed, where kids loved going to school.
Well, you see, it's a very complex and nuanced thing. There's a lot of children, say autistic children, neurodivergent children, who would really struggle with the school milieu, the environment, the rigidity, how austere it is, lunches, peer relations. Those kind of things would really be problematic for a child who has, you know, like something.
But you would have expected those rates of those kind of children to be pretty constant.
You see, I think with the disruption to school, as we, you know, and the message that parents were, the message that children got, that school is optional. I mean, that's a really problematic message.
Yeah, I thought I had to go to school, but COVID demonstrated
but
I don't.
No, exactly. Now I can stay at home.
Yeah.
And so you have to look at that, and then you have to always think about, too, there's two kind of reasons, positive and negative reinforcement. Is it the school environment? That's the negative reinforcement. Or the positive reinforcement? Is home life much more comfortable and much nicer than school?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So you got to look at that. And what I say to parents always, avoidance isn't a good strategy for a long-term outcome goal, you know what I mean? So every bit of research would suggest this. And this,
but haven't we got the same problem in the adult population, people who are unwilling to give up their comfortable remote working from home
environment? It's a real problem. It is a real problem for all of us to go back into work and to go back into the routine and the rigidity of that and the commuting and all that stuff. Of course, because COVID restrictions massively impacted our understanding of ourselves and how we can work and where we can work from. And so, I mean, it's a really important message.
So you're saying I'm staying at home from work to work remotely, and I'm telling my child, get into school.
Well, there's
you know,
that.
There is that.
Yeah, there's that
contradiction.
Yeah, there is mixed messages going on. But we have to, there's a lot of, most children, I would say, who struggle with school, emotional-based school, avoidance, probably more than likely, and the research in this, Pat, is not very good, it's not extensive, probably have ASD or neurodivergent. They're struggling with the environment because, let's be honest, our school environment is a one-shoe-fits-all. And I've worked in this both as a teacher and in universities and lecturing and that. I've often met so many students who really struggle with lunch. And what we
explain what you mean by struggling with lunch.
Interpersonal relationships.
Oh, you mean they
really
struggle
with lunchtime. That's the worst time for them. Which for me when I was a kid, lunch was the break from the awful routine of like listening to Paul Agashila, Egimert Pella. That was the break from all that nonsense. Yeah. But for a lot of children, that is an awful place to be because you're sitting on your own. It illuminates your difficulty with your peers. And so what I used to do as a teacher, I'd set up a kind of like a cinema in the classroom, and so they could say, I'd have hordes of kids coming in by the end of the week when they heard that you could watch a movie. And so any student who was struggling with that had a place to go. And it's really important that we figure out what is our child's stressor, because it is so hard for parents, and they are so blamed by the system. Get your child up and get them in. You go into your bedroom and pull a 15-year-old out of bed who's saying no. It's really difficult. And that's what I say to parents, have compassion for yourself. This is a difficult thing. But it does generally tend to resolve. And your child will go into the world and they will begin to thrive. Yeah. But the school system is problematic of itself.
Now, the school system at lunchtime when they have access once again to their phones, and you and I have talked about the phone problem.
Yeah.
I mean, that allows isolation. I mean, a child can sit staring at their own screen rather than engage.
The phone is a part of this problem too, Pat, because the phone is removing those really important memories of talking with people and chatting with people. You know, what is anxiety? Because this is anxiety-based. This is a fear, you know. What's anxiety? It's a fear of an unknown future event. Well, what's the antidote to that? Having memories of overcoming. What's the antidote to lunchtime? Having memories of having chats with people and just pushing yourself a little bit more, talking with people a little bit more, feeling a little bit more confident in yourself. They're the antidote. This thing manages that distance, you know, the smartphone pulls us away from all of that small talk and can really
and can
decrease.
Also be, it can be diverting, you see, for the child. It's not that they're doing nothing.
Yeah, well, it in some ways it can satiate that kind of awkwardness, there's no doubt about it, but it becomes a positive feedback loop. The thing that you use to satiate yourself is the thing that further alienates you, and so you get stuck into it further and further and further. Gaming, for issue, you know, for example, that's very immersive. And so if you're at home and you've got a 14-year-old boy gaming, that can be a really difficult thing to break because they're so immersive. There's no ASD in there. There's no dyslexia. There's no dyspraxia. There's no dyscalculia in the game. The game is free from all of those awful labels that we receive through our lives. And so that's where they get stuck into it and they get caught in there and the real world is passing them by.
So let's start with the primary school child who is reluctant to go to school.
Yeah.
What advice for the parent to try and get them back?
Well, I suppose trying to figure out is there something underlining is a really important thing. Trying to figure that out maybe first. Is there something underlining here? Is this my child's, is this their reluctance to leave the comfort of the house? Right, that's one thing. They mightn't have anything underlining. They just might want to stay at home. They might find separation from their parent difficult, or they might be gaming at home. They might be on their phone at night. Those kind of things. I mean, I know that sounds for a primary school student, you're kind of thinking, is that actually happening? No, that is really happening. And so we have to figure out what is it here? Is it positive reinforcement, the house too nice, or is the school too awful?
Yeah, and the question is, within the school, is it their classmates or is it the teacher?
The curriculum.
Is it the environment?
Yeah.
For instance, I came across a situation years ago where a child didn't want to go to school because they couldn't reach the sink to wash their hands after going to the toilet.
Exactly. I mean, see, and figuring that out. Exactly, figuring that. I had a student one time, I went to the house to talk to him because he'd stopped going to school. And I asked him, you know, and I said, what is it? And he said, I hate lunch. And I said, what's your hobby? He said, chess. We set up a chess room. And back into school he came. Right? Okay. So it's trying to figure out what is it exactly that they're avoiding? What is it? What's the avoidance stopping? Because the avoidance is not the answer here. Avoidance further depletes their sense of themselves.
So how does the parents start to get them back to school?
Okay, it is tough. And I want to acknowledge that for parents. It is tough. And let's have compassion for ourselves as parents. This is tricky. You can't pull your child out of school, out of the bed and drag them down to the school. So I would be trying to, what I would do fundamentally, don't make home life so wonderfully comfortable. And that sounds harsh now. But, you know, don't have the phone, don't have the iPad up in the bedroom. Don't have the games in the bedroom. And that's not punitive, Pat, but that's aligning with your child, and that's further entrenching their position of not wanting to go to school.
Yeah.
And so what I try to do is make the school day, they can go on their device afterwards if that's what they love and all that kind of stuff, but I'd make the school day as kind of a school day that there's work to do and a bit of homework to do, and I'd be trying to get them, keep them in the rhythm of school. The moment you break that rhythm, like the summer holidays, students can really struggle going back in September because the rhythm has been so relaxed and easy. You know, don't let that rhythm be so relaxed. And that's not punitive, now, please don't hear that, but it's about keeping the rhythm of school going.
Now, when we're talking about the primary school child, there is still a certain respect for the authority of the parents.
Yeah.
Now, there can be tantrums and all the rest, but there's still, you know, we know who's the boss in this house. When you get to the teenager...
It's a little bit different.
It's a little bit different.
Little recalcitrant trait seeps in there and they're defiant.
So how do you start with them?
Well, I'm trying to figure out, well, what is their avoidance here? And fundamentally, everything, you know, that the Department of Education Skills will say, if you're going to do home tuition, you have to have a reintegration plan if we're going to support you. Because we're always thinking about getting them back into school. Because ultimately, Pat, I've worked with the most entrenched cases of school avoidance and all that, school refusal and all that. Ultimately, it does break at times. And you kind of go, well, what was that? And they're saying, well, it was this, a relationship, a bullying. Bullying can be a really cause of a child avoiding school. And sitting down with your child and trying to figure out what is it you're avoiding? What are you trying to stop here? And trying to figure out how can we help them with that?
And of course, the reaction of the parent when your man won't get up out of the labba in the morning is you lazy so-and-so.
Exactly. And in most cases, it's not the lazy. In most cases, it's probably an underlining thing there. There might be ASD or neurodivergence, and the system is so rigid and so austere that it's almost impossible for the child to navigate.
A couple of comments. I had a 14-year-old boy refuse to go to school last year over a bad haircut he had, and he said he'd be bullied.
Yeah.
You know, everyone was having the Peaky Blinders haircut for a particular period, and if you didn't have it...
Yeah, but see, this is the thing with parents. Sometimes the reasoning is quite straightforward.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a situation where you have to go in there and face that and don't get a bad haircut again.
Schools need not to expect all kids to go outside at break time and expect them to play team sports. Yeah. Maybe they're being bullied at break time. Chess club, movie time, board games, great alternative, which you've already mentioned,
exactly.
Richard. This one, I volunteer with ISPCC Childline. We run an online mental health program to support teenagers and the parents of teenagers and children. A large portion of school refusal is anxiety-based. The program that we run supports parents and teenagers to deal with the underlying anxiety which lead to school refusals and antisocial activities. I would really love if you could mention Childline's program. Happy to do so. It's free of charge to teenagers and parents. They can just log on to the Childline website. That's from Esther.
Yeah, well, anxiety is a huge cause of this, Pat. I mean, it's an underlying anxiety here. And again, just think about it. It's a fear of the unknown. What did COVID do for us in the restrictions? It depleted normative experiences like the Gaeltacht, going out to discos, going into relationships, getting broken up with, your first kiss, all of these things that are normal parts of maturation development, it took those away from them. And so think about when you think about the future, you think you don't have the skills to meet it. That's going to fire your amygdala. That's going to fire your warning system.
Are you in favour of rewarding kids for going to school?
Well, what I would always try to do here is try to make a little bit of a deal with them, because this is what happens, Pat, right? You develop a fear. Say Sunday night, your child is absolutely beside themselves thinking, I'm not going to school in the morning. What I would say is, go in till 10:30, and then if you still feel the same, try to make a little bargain like that.
Yeah.
Because the amygdala will calm down. Once they go into the stressor, generally they realise that what they imagined it to be isn't as stressful as what they thought. And so the system starts to calm down. I'm talking about children that are neurotypical here. Exposure is always a way to kind of overcome that bit of anxiety.
Here's a question for you. How would you handle this issue? My child was a happy, sunny young teenager. He's been diagnosed with ADHD, which means he finds it hard to toe the line in school.
Yeah.
But the school is not interested in the diagnosis, and they're very punitive, which is heaping massive stress on all of us. No chance of moving schools, as they are all so heavily oversubscribed.
I mean, I think that's I would be surprised that the school would take that approach to it. I think, you know,
is there a sense there's too much ADHD around?
Well, there's a sense there's overdiagnosis for sure. And there's a bit of fatigue in the system, in the education system around it, there's no doubt. But there are some kids who are genuinely here, you know, diagnosed with this, and they find it very hard to sit down in a space and concentrate. And it looks like they're being disruptive and they're being difficult. But actually, what's the issue here is that the system is trying to force them into a particular way of being. And if the system relaxed a little bit and thought about how to manage that child a little bit differently, I think you'd start seeing a lot more children going to school.
All right. Well, on that note, Richard, thank you very much for joining us. Richard Hogan, family psychotherapist and author of Home is Where the Start Is and Parenting the Screenager. Richard,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.